Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Why do I say Sunday night? Because this show airs throughout the week. We rerun it. So I'm just letting you know that Sunday night we are live in the studio. Well, first and foremost, if you're joining us for the first time tonight here on Max and Friends, welcome to the show. Y'all are my co-hosts, my listeners. So tweet me at Max Tucci. Let me know what's going on in your life. Let me know what's up for the holidays. Just keep in touch with me. That's what I ask of you. I am consciously creating our relationship over Twitter, at Max Tucci. So definitely hit me up there. If you want to send me emails, max@maxtucci.com. I'm here for you. You're here for me. We love each other. Well, this is the holiday season. Hanukkah has come and gone. Y'all don't have to worry about Hanukkah gifts anymore. If you missed it, that's 7 days. You don't have to spend money. So do your thing. But Christmas is around the corner. And you know I always love doing Max's favorite things. So I have some stuff for you. Tweet me at Max Tucci. It's going to be random who we pick this out to. So I love you all, but I can't do everything. But I can just be here tonight on Max and Friends and tell you about some of my favorite things. So, do we have the Hot Topics clip we can hit real quick? Because this is a hot topic. It's Max's favorite things.
Hey, y'all, guys and dolls. Pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on.
Well, the topic we're going to drop tonight on Max and Friends is some of my favorite things for the holidays. These are things that I have seen throughout the year or that I have fallen in love with or that I can't live without. And one thing that I cannot live without is alcohol. Not alcohol, alcohol. It's one of my favorite products to clean the whole nose system. So I got you all covered. It cleans the sinuses, your throat. It literally keeps me on air. I love alcohol. They've been around forever. It's all natural. If you're in the entertainment business, if you have the gift of gab, if you are suffering from sinuses or whatever you're going through, get alcohol. I'll tweet it after the show. We will hook you up with some free stuff. So tweet me at Max Tucci and hashtag alcohol. That's one of my favorite things. Literally, I go every single day with it. I love it. Is that cool? All right. We also have to talk about Bolthouse 1915, which is a gold. It is liquid gold. It is a cold pressed juice. Their website is 1915organic.com. I promise you it is one of my favorite drinks. So I have some coupons for a giveaway for you all. So tweet me at Max Tucci. I love the beet juice. I love the mango. All the juices are good. You have to get them. Then there's a t-shirt company. There's an incredible man named Mike Hines, and he wears these shirts called Silber Fox. Yes, that is Silver Fox in German. So check out Silber, SilberFuchsNYC.com. They're fun, quirky shirts. They are so groovy. No matter what you're into in the lifestyle of, you'll know what I mean. So go hit them up. It's gay-friendly, so check that out. Because I know some straight people are going to hit that up and be like, what is this all about? I don't get it. Get it, love it, wear it. It's a fun shirt company. And I just think it's fun just to give them a shout-out here at Max and Friends. Speaking of shout-outs, we've got to give a shout-out tonight to Alinda, Stan, and Kyla. They invited us to their holiday party. We had a blast tonight. So I love you guys. They're like my second family. We met at one of my favorite restaurants, and literally, we created a friendship. But that's what tonight's show is about creating. And Gordana Biernat, y'all love her. I know you do because whenever she tweets, you all tweet. And she's not only an inspirational speaker, she talks about consciousness, creativity, leadership, art, reality, and time. And she is not only a friend to the show, but a friend to you all. And back tonight, in just a moment, Gordana's going to be joining us because tonight we are going to talk about desires, manifestation, and synchronicity. What do they all have in common? How do we use them? How do we consciously create the desires of our life to be the desires that then turn into reality? Is it possible? Well, right now, happy holidays is. So we'll be right back with Gordana Birnat and Max and Friends. In the meantime, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. May the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you.
If you're burdened down with trouble, if your nerves are wearing thin, pack your load down the road, come to Holiday.
Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends, and that was a remix of Happy Holidays for Stan, Linda, and Kyla. I hope you're all tuning in. If you're tuning in on latalkradio.com, I love you for that, but shame on you, because we have a free, awesome app. It's so high-tech, it's so groovy, you can interact with us, and I really hope that you all go get it. Stick that in your stocking. Stuff that in your stocking. Whatever you do for your stockings, get the LA Talk Radio app. It's free, it's fun, and it is all that and a bag of chips. Well, speaking of, you know, Gordana was here a while ago. I'll tell you exactly when, back in March. And we talked about ego being a tool your soul uses to experience desires. So, what do you desire? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Really, let's cut all the bullshit and let's just say, what is it that I really desire? Not what someone has instilled in you to believe that you desire. Because that happens. In life patterns and pathology, we're taught this is what you should do and this is what you need to do. Should, could, and all of a sudden, our lives become tainted with the colors of those that think what we should do is not actually what we want to do. Does that make sense? It's not your desire. So I want to know what your desires in life are. Because this year coming, 2016, which is just literally around the corner, you have the power, the capability, the ability to not only create your desires, but to manifest them. And then, of course, to get into the divine flow of synchronicity. Speaking of divine, welcome my guest, Gordana Birnat, back to Max and Friends. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Max. I love talking to you. You're such an inspiration.
As are you. Like attracts like. And I think that's the manifestation right there.
Exactly. You cannot see anything that is out of your frequency. So we are sharing the frequency tonight.
You know, and we all are sharing the frequency. But sometimes, you know, like I said earlier, we have these patterns in pathology. And it's like a fuse. It kind of just short circuits. So how do we recircuit, is that even a word? How do we get our circulations going, and how do we get our desires and our manifestation and our synchronicity and all these words that people who are tuning in for the first time are like, what are you even talking about? I've never heard this. I've heard it. I don't know how to use it. How do we put into effect to make our desires a reality?
Well, the first step is that you have to know exactly what you want. I mean, you can't be vague there. You have to know exactly what you want. And that's the tricky part, because if you're living someone else's life, or if you've been learned what you need in your life, then it's harder for you to know what you want. So you have to know who you are, and then you have to know what you want. And then you really, really, really have to want it. And the last thing is that you have to believe that you deserve it. And I don't mean just say that you deserve it or try to convince yourself that you deserve it. You have to believe it in your gut. And then synchronicity starts and it just flows into your life without you even noticing how it does that.
So we have the real us, you know, the real you, the real me. the realness of who we are. You know, and I always believe, and we had this conversation, Gordana, just this week. We're born, and it's amazing how from the time we're born to a certain age, we don't remember anything that happens, right? We don't remember it. Maybe we'll get triggers or and think of something, but we don't remember it. And then if I ask you right now, for instance, Gordana, when you were a child and you went through, let's say, a traumatic experience, do you go back to it seeing yourself living it, or do you see it through the eyes of a little girl? So how is that? How do you answer that for yourself?
For myself, when I used to see it through the eyes of the little girl, I found myself being a victim all the time. Mm. But when I started to looking at it from the perspective of a grown-up, as I am, looking at a little girl, then I could see the strength in this little child, and I didn't see myself as a victim anymore. So I had to jump out of myself in my memories and watch myself from the outside in order to see what actually is going on. Otherwise, when I look at it from the little girl's perspective, my emotion starts and I will not see it in the right perspective, and it won't be beneficial for me, because it will keep me in the wrong emotions. It will keep me in the victimhood instead of showing me the strengths I had as a child. So you need to jump out of yourself in your memories and watch yourself from the outside, looking at it as a little child. I mean, looking at it as a grown-up, looking at it as a child.
Right. No, listen, because what happens is, and I think, you know, we desire things, we want them to manifest, but what happens is, somewhere in the back of our mind, in the back of our subconscious, maybe even in our conscious, we are told you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you can't do that. I love this one. Who do you think you are?
I know, that's right? A really tough one.
And for me, the answer is, who do I think I'm not?
Yes.
Right?
But you know, some, if you define a desire as the thrilling urge or even the itch that gives you the courage to go beyond your boundaries just so you can become more of who you truly are, then you have to be in touch with who you truly are. Otherwise, the desire becomes an obsession or something negative in your life, perpetuating that you're not good enough all the time because you're trying to fix yourself and you think that that is a desire. I mean, anorexia, for instance, is that kind of a thing. You want to fix yourself and you have a desire to have a beautiful body, but instead it manifests as something very, very negative.
Now,
so it
how
becomes
do we,
an obsession.
Yeah. How do we then separate the desire via and the obsession? Like what's a red flag that it becomes an obsession as opposed to a desire?
Well, I mean, it's born out of lack or the feeling of not being good enough. So if your desire doesn't give you joy, instead it soothes you, that's a red flag. Desire is always supposed to fill you with energy. It's supposed to give you a visualization of something that you want to become more of. So it will give you joy and it will exhilarate you. It will make more energy around you. But if it's just there to soothe you or to keep you in your comfort zone because you're afraid of trying new things, the desire to, I don't know, sit in your couch and watch TV, then that is a negative thing. So there's a red flag. If it doesn't fill you with energy, then there's something there you should look at from maybe some kind of memory or something that has triggered it in you.
You know, I love how you just explained that because it's so true. For instance, with myself, when there's something that I really desire, the amount of energy I have, I don't need sleep. I can go, you know, like night after night, just like doing and doing and doing and doing until I accomplish the desire and manifest it. So how do we manifest our desires?
Well, firstly, you need to honor yourself in every single choice in your life. I mean, choosing the alternative that gives you the most joy or excitement every time you have an alternative. So you shouldn't say, I should do this. You should choose the thing that gives you true joy. And then, I mean, that's how you trigger positive synchronicity, perpetual synchronicity. And then suddenly you find yourself doing the right thing. I mean, you can't plan it in detail because then you annihilate the synchronicity. So you have to relax in it and you have to choose what excites you every single time.
Now, give us an example, because I know people are tuning in. They're like, this is far over my head. I can't even grasp or understand this. Let's break it down into a simple formula, let's call it, of how to just be in the flow almost.
Well, it's like the thing you posted on Facebook about getting Star Wars ticket. I can take that as an example, because if you, for instance, would have said, no, it's impossible for me to get those tickets. I mean, they're probably sold out. You would end up sitting at home doing nothing. But you
Well, that's
thought,
what happened. That, exactly. Let's give the backstory. Here's the backstory.
Yeah, for those tell the story.
And P.S., if you're tuning in for the first time, you're listening to Max and Friends. My guest is Gordana Biernat. I would love for all of you to go to Twitter right now. At MyPowerTalk is her Twitter handle. But here's what happened. So Saturday, I'm in South Beach, and I was like, oh, you know, Saturday afternoon, we just had breakfast. I'm like, oh, let's go see Star Wars. Not even thinking, Gordana, that there was a possibility of tickets being sold out. This is just how I operate always in life. You know, I rarely take no for an answer, and in the best way. Like, I don't become an asshole about it. You know, I just, like, in the best way. And then I'm like, oh, like, skipping along through Lincoln, like, let's go to the movies and see Star Wars. We get there, and I had to go upstairs to the guest services because I have, like, a preferred card, and they put your points on, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't have that with me, so my first inkling was, let's not even go buy the tickets on the monitor. Let's go right upstairs, you know, just to go to the guest services. I went up there. I said, I need my number, and I said, oh, can we get tickets from you? She said, yes. Long story short, I pull up the Star Wars. There's two seats left, but they were in the front row, and I was like, I don't front row in 3D and IMAX. I was like, no, I'm not going to get just over a movie. Okay. Yeah. So out of the blue, I was like, but I'm definitely going to see this movie. And Keith said, oh, what about we go tomorrow? I'm like, no, like, we're going today. You know, and like, he's come to learn, like, if I say we're doing something, it's usually going to happen. It just, the synchronicity just happens. Okay. A gentleman walks up next to us and says, lady, listen, I have two tickets for the 120 showing that are in row J, which is like a great row all the way in the back. Yeah. You see the whole screen. And he goes, it's my friend's daughter's birthday, so he couldn't come today because his daughter had a birthday party. He's like, do you guys want the tickets? We're like, that's just how it happens. And then, of course, she rings up my card and we get free popcorn and a soda for free. You know, and the reason why I'm laughing is because even though it really wasn't like my deepest desire to see Star Wars, it was something that was going to give me joy. I love the movies and the manifestation of it occurring and then the synchronicity. And it's just, you know, is there really the cliche, Gordana, of saying I was at the right place at the right time?
It's not a cliche. It is the truth, because that is how the universe works. Otherwise, the planets would be all off course, but they're always at the right time at the right place. So everything works this way anyways. It's just that we are messing it up with our free will, because we think that we can control everything instead of relaxing in it, and it will just simply manifest the way it's supposed to manifest. So, of course, yes, it sounds like a miracle, but it's actually not a miracle. It's just a glimpse of how the reality works on a quantum level of reality.
Let's stop for there for 1 second. Yeah. For people who are tuning in for the first time, break that down, because it sounds almost UFO-ish.
Well, tell me, what do you need me to break down? Do you need to know?
Yeah, let's break down the quantum physics. Let's break down synchronicity. Let's break synchronicity and quantum physics. Let's start there.
Well, synchronicity is the expression of the underlying pattern in the universe. It is the force that binds everything, that holds everything together. I mean, it's not a phenomenon, it's more of a force behind the miracles. I mean, when you talk about synchronicity, it's like information zapping instantaneously back and forth beyond time and space and beyond the physical universe, because it doesn't need any time to pop up everywhere. So it is a part of our universe, this synchronicity business. It's tricky, because it's hard to explain, because it works outside of our dimensions. It works outside time and space, because it's instantaneous. I mean, it's faster than the speed of light. And it's a hard thing even for quantum physics to explain what this how this synchronicity works. I mean, Einstein called it spooky action at distance. That's how scientific it was. So, I mean, it is scientific, but it's very, very hard to explain because it behaves like miracles. And everything in the universe is connected in a synchronistic way.
So can we just, for simplicity's sake, for every action, there's a reaction?
Yes. Yes, that would be the simplest way to explain it. But also, you don't need an action in order for this to start. It's enough that you think about it, or that you believe it, or that you want to see it, or that you fear it. Because this synchronicity force reacts on your beliefs, on your worries, on your fears, on your thoughts. It's like a mirroring thing, mirroring back everything you think, feel, do, act, say, believe.
How it works. I always say the way to really to start manifesting things is to show up. And physically show up in yourself. Show up in yourself first. You know, we always think like, if we have to manifest our desires, like, oh, for instance, the whole secret. Oh, if you want a Bentley, you know, go to the Bentley dealership. Great. If you don't have credit, if you don't have the money, you're not going to, just showing up isn't going to do anything. So how do we get into that space of showing up in ourself?
Well, by starting to realize that we are manifesting 24/7, we are doing it all the time. So it's nothing, we don't need to learn to do this. What we have to become more of is conscious in what we are manifesting. Because most of us are manifesting our not wants, if I can put it that way. We are manifesting what we don't want. We are manifesting
clutter.
Our fears. Yes. And that's why it's important to start figuring out who you are and your desires, because your entire life is a desire to experience something in the physical reality.
So now, when I ask you the question, who is the real you? What do you say? Who is the real you?
The real me is the one desiring this experience. The real me is the one looking at the dew on the grass when I cut it to my guinea pig here. That is the real me, the one looking at it. That's the real me, the one that has this urge to experience thing as Gordana Bjernat, the one behind this physical body, the one moving it. That's the real me. But, you know, I cannot explain that in words, because then I would have to say I am all that is. That's the only way to describe what I am in truth. Because the minute I start describing what I want to feel, then I'm describing my desires, and then I'm describing my physical self. But I'm not describing my true self, the one behind my physical self.
So, you know, it's interesting. Panache Desai, who's a guest on the show, when I asked him, you know, who the divine was, to define the divine, he was quiet. He said, you can't define the divine, because that would like lessen it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like asking you, you're divine, period. And we all are divine. You know, there's a great quote that I posted the other day, just yesterday, that said, we in general, are a ghost driving a meat-covered skeleton made from stardust, riding a rock floating through space, fear nothing.
Yes.
Right? And when you understand that, that's really just the simplicity of what we're doing here right now. Of course, if we can ride a rock floating through space, we can really manifest our desires. We're going to get back to the show in just a moment. There's a great Alan Watts teaching that's called... What is it called, Ronnie? I have it here. It's called something really good. The real you. That's right. It's called The Real You. We're going to play right now. And when we're back, Gordana Bjernat is going to be with us for the rest of the show, talking about desires, manifestation, and synchronicity. But right now, Alan Watts, The Real You.
You're ready to wake up, you're going to wake up. And if you're not ready, you're going to stay pretending that you're just a little, poor little me. And since you're all here and engaged in this sort of inquiry and listening to this sort of lecture, I assume that you're all on the process of waking up. Or else you're teasing yourselves with some kind of flirtation with waking up, which you're not serious about. But I assume maybe you are, not serious but sincere, that you are ready to wake up. So then, when you're in the way of waking up and finding out who you really are, what you do is what the whole universe is doing at the place you call here and now. You are something the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is something that the whole ocean is doing. The real you is not a puppet which life pushes around. The real deep down you is the whole universe. So then, when you die, you're not going to have to put up with everlasting non-existence, because that's not an experience. A lot of people are afraid that when they die, they're going to be locked up in a dark room forever and sort of undergo that. But one of the most interesting things in the world, this is a yoga, this is a way of realization. Try and imagine what it will be like to go to sleep and never wake up. Think about that. Children think about it. It's one of the great wonders of life. What will it be like to go to sleep and never wake up? And if you think long enough about that, something will happen to you. You will find out, among other things, that it'll pose the next question to you. What was it like to wake up after having never gone to sleep? That was when you were born. You see, you can't have an experience of nothing. Nature abhors a vacuum. So after you're dead, the only thing that can happen is the same experience, or the same sort of experience, as when you were born. In other words, we all know very well that after people die, other people are born. And they're all you. Only you can only experience it one at a time. Everybody is I. You all know you are you. And wheresoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being. You know that very well. Only you don't have to remember the past in the same way you don't have to think about how you work your thyroid gland or whatever else it is in your organ. You don't have to know how to shine the sun. You just do it. Like you breathe. Doesn't it really astonish you that you are this fantastically complex thing? And that you're doing all of this and you never had any education in how to do it?
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. If you're joining me for the first time tonight at Max and Friends, welcome to the show. That was Alan Watts, The Real You. It's a fabulous short teaching. I will post the link after on Twitter, so follow me there at Max Tucci. Gordana, wasn't that brilliant?
It is. He's brilliant. I love Alan Watts. He's really a genius.
Total genius. Now, so are you, because when you come up with your tweets and you post things, it just can put you almost into a space of being still and understanding that we are capable of everything. For instance, you had a tweet, "The source is always within you." Elaborate on that.
Well, I had this thought because I was at the movies and I watched Star Wars, and there's a passage where they say, "May the Force be with you." And I was going in the movie thinking like this, why are they saying it like that? It's just, it's a very strange thing to say, because there's a doubt in this. If you say, "May the Force be with you," then you're kind of saying that it's not with you all the time, which is not true. It is with you all the time. It is how you use the force So it's there all the time. So you should say the force is with you all the time, or the force is within you all the time, or the source is within you all the time. It's one and the same
thing. Or the divine, the source, the universe.
Yes.
You know, I was
walking. You want. Yeah.
It's so true. Anything. You could replace that word with anything, and that's what's within you. If you want, fear will always be with you if it is. Words create. You know, spelling, okay, is you're casting a spell. That's why they're called spelling. That's why you spell a word, because you cast spells. So if you want fear to always be with you, it will be with you. If you want hate, love, you could replace that word, the source is within you, to anything, and that's what you'll manifest. Walking down, again, back to the Star Wars movie, walking on Lincoln Road, there was some young guy who comes up to me. He's like, oh, he saw I have my beads on. He's like, oh, Hare Krishna. I'm like, yes, everything and love and joy. And then he goes, where are you going? I said, we're going to see Star Wars. He goes, may the force be with you. And I said, the force is already with you. And he looked at me like I had 10 eyes. But it's just the reality of creating the force, the source, the imagination. What I love too is you say your imagination activates creation. Tell us about that.
Well, because everything starts out as a desire to experience something. So if you want to experience something, you have to be able to imagine it before you want to experience it. So your desires start the imagination, which starts the creation. So it starts off with the desire. And I think that, honestly, when our souls want to experience this physical reality, it starts out as a desire to specific experiences we want to have in this physical body. So our identity, our first identity when we part, or we never part, but when we enter this body, is the desires we have with us that we want. You could almost call it as fulfilling your purpose here in life, because that is what your desires are. But you have to be certain of who you are, and to have clean desires, true desires, joyful desires to experience in this reality.
You know, it's interesting, because some religions will say that if you desire something, it's your ego wanting something.
Yes, I mean, Buddha says we suffer because we desire. But it's true. We do suffer because we desire, because desire reminds us of our mortality and the evanescence of this reality, because wanting something awakens immediate awareness of its absence. It also evokes fear, because we become afraid of losing the object of desire. So, of course, it's very tight with suffering and fear, but in this reality, there are always two sides, so you can choose which side you wish to focus your awareness of. Even a desire has two sides. It has this side of fear because you can lose it, but it also has this side of joy because you can experience it, and that's why you are here.
You know, it's so fascinating, because my grandmother always said fear is false evidence appearing real. And in life, if we know, you know, this was an interesting television show that I saw not too long ago. And it was saying, if you know that you can experience joy for a certain amount of time, why not take that risk of enjoying that joy for that amount of time? It could last longer, it might not. But we don't know. So enjoy it while you have it. Do you believe in risk-taking, Gordana?
Yes, I do, because I believe in the synchronicity I don't believe in it. I know that it is synchronicity, and it can be joyful synchronicity. It can be perpetually joyful synchronicity if I take risks in my life, because I trust that the universe will somehow put itself right for me, and I think that the trust really puts it right for me. I mean, I know that my reality doesn't manifest to me. It manifests through me. So I color it with everything. I mean, every emotion I have, every belief I have, that's what I color my manifestation with. So everything I believe, I will manifest.
Now,
but
for those who are listening,
believe.
Yeah, because that's the difference. You know, and obviously it becomes a pattern and a pathology too, because once you get into the source, the force, the flow, the divine, the manifestation, it naturally then just starts occurring, and you don't, the amount of energy that you need to put out there becomes less, because you know how to be the victor instead of the victim. So
well,
Yeah.
No, I wanted to say that it's not enough to try to convince yourself that you deserve something if you believe that you do not deserve it. It's not enough to sit down and visualize 3 hours a day and think that you will get it. It's not how it works. You have to relax in this. You have to stop pushing it, because you cannot push anything. It has to manifest in a very, very zen way.
naturally. Like a flower. A flower, no one tells a flower how to grow. It just grows.
Exactly, because right? The flower knows the process. What
to do. Yeah. But I mean, do we then not trust the process? Is it because of patterns and pathology?
Yes, I think that, honestly, I think that our society is teaching us that the universe and everything outside of us is dangerous because we cannot control it. Because we think that there is a little me inside this body, and then there's the vast outside of my body, which I cannot control in any way. But if you switch this perspective, and if you look at it as if you were the creator of everything you have in your reality, I mean, every single thing is a part of your frequency, then you are in a powerful state of mind, because you understand that it's all up to you. I'm not saying that you're responsible for everything. What I'm saying is that you are the frequency you are seeing in front of you. So there is a connection. You are co-creating the reality. It's not out there, out of your control.
You know, listen, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, so come at me, at Max Tucci on Twitter. But here's the thing. A lot of people, and this is just religion here in the United States and all around the world too, and I'm not going to say which religion, y'all can figure it out, but so many millions and millions of people put their faith into a ghost creator. Let's just call it that, right? And they believe that this ghost creator who created everything on Earth doesn't want the best for them and will put their life and their trust in this ghost creator's hands, right? When in reality, what I just heard from you, what I heard, you might not have said this, but I heard this, was we are the creator of everything for our life. So why don't we put that trust that so many put into this ghost creator into ourselves? Where's the disconnect?
Well, the disconnect is exactly what you described, because you're externalizing your power to somebody outside. Make wrong things in your own reality.
It's so true.
So, I mean, externalizing it is easier in a way, because then you can continue being a victim and continue not having control. And the other thing is to take more control. Yeah.
Take more control. Of course, we have to take more control. And of course, that's a whole other topic on how to take control of ourselves. But right now, I believe that you and I, through this show, and for all those listening, we're breaking the patterns and pathology of so many tortured beings. I call it torture, not in the sense that, like, you know, you're being whipped and beaten. But life, you know, when you follow Gordana at My Power Talk, you can see just the manifestations that are happening. We are entitled to these manifestations because we can create them. So how do we consciously create the desires, forget of our heart, because I think that's just so like, oh, you know, it's such a movie, right? But just our desires, our wants, how do we consciously create them without feeling the guilt?
Well, you have to start to know who you truly are. You have to start feeling the deliberate creator you are. You have to start believing in yourself that you are creating your own reality. That's one thing. You have to start believing that. And if you have a hard time believing it, then you have to start reading books and things that will put you in the right frequency to understand that you are creating your own reality. That's step number one. But then you have to create a vision of what you want in your reality. I mean, like
but
an
how,
image.
But for people who don't know what they want, a lot of people don't know what they want. They really don't. So how can you have a vision of something when you don't even know what it is that you want?
Well, you do need time to figure out who you are. Sometimes, for instance, I never ask people what they do for a living. What I do ask them...
Well, because you're not American.
No, but they do this in Sweden also, so it's not an American thing. I think it's a Western thing. What I do ask them is, if money was not an issue, what would you be doing? And you know something, this really triggers people. People, they answer with their dreams. Even if they don't see those things as desires, they answer with their dreams. So you start asking yourself that question, if money was not an issue, and take it seriously. I mean, do ask this question and think about it. You will know what you want to do if money was not an issue. Because I think a lot of people don't allow themselves to start dreaming because money is often an issue.
Money is the majority of the issues, especially for people now during the holidays. You know, where everyone is so stressed out about buying and buying and buying and just filling these voids with gifts that no one really wants anyway.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Money becomes an issue. You know, it really does. And that's why this show to me is so important tonight, because you know, for some reason, when there's a new year, I believe the new year starts in September when kids go back to school. But for some year, for whatever reason, we have it in January. And people want to start doing, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to start manifesting my beliefs, whatever I believe or whatever I didn't believe. We all have this like pattern that we want to start doing something new for ourselves. So before we get into the new year, well, you talked about books. And I know that you have a book series. So tell us about your book series.
Well, I'm actually on the verge of publishing my books. I'm looking for agents and I'm looking for publishers, but my books are all about understanding who you truly are. That's the main thing. I'm going through this over and over and over and over again from different kinds of perspectives just to reconnect you to who you truly are. Because that's what I'm about. I know that is the core. The minute you realize who you truly are, everything else becomes very, very easy. I mean, you instantly understand that fulfilling your life purpose is not a half-time thing or a hobby you do if time permits. You understand that this is your life and you have to do something about it. But you have to be in connection with who you truly are. And I mean, we do have the same essence. I truly believe that people are good in essence because we live in an abundant universe that is including, not excluding, because it's infinite. So it has to include everything, which means that it is accepting. And that is our essence.
It is our essence. And I heard this quote the other day, that humanity, that the earth doesn't need humanity. Or nature doesn't need humanity. Humanity needs nature. Right?
Yes,
nature
exactly.
Nature will survive without us. We come in with our thoughts and our patterns and our beliefs, and we start messing so many things up, just because I think it's lack of knowledge. You know, they say, when you know better, you do better. So, speaking of knowing and doing better, when you were here, I have my notes from March. When you were here in March, we spoke about what we believe we manifest. So, can you talk about what a belief is and how we can change a belief and manifest it?
Well, a belief is something that you have either been taught when you were very small about reality or something else in your life, or something that you yourself have come to believe in your reality. That is a truth for you. It's a thought that you have had so many times that it has become something more solid in you. It's not negotiable in your life. See it as reality, but actually it is a belief in yourself. So if you want to change your beliefs, you have to go to old memories and look at them exactly as we talked about in the beginning of the program. Look at them from a grown-up's perspective in order to change a belief. For instance, if you have a belief that you're a victim in your life, then you need to go back and rephrase it or revisit it and look at it from a different perspective where you can see the strengths you have and ignore the rest. Just take the strengths from that memory and pull it back to your now, and that's where you can change it. But you
need
to see it.
Is it easier said than done?
No, actually, it is very easy, but you have to take the time to do it and not be afraid of what you see. Because if you're confident enough that you can only take the good part from it, even if it's a small thing you find, you can take a good part from it, then you can dare to do it. And it's not hard to do.
You know, like I said in the beginning of the show, life is easy, we make it hard. Why is it that? Why do you believe that? When I say we, I mean us as a civilization. Why is it that we tend to gravitate towards the hard as opposed towards the easy?
I don't know if we. Well, I think that is something we learn. I don't think that we do it. If you look at a child trying to learn to walk, I don't think that the child sees it as something hard or difficult. It just does it. It just tries until it stands up and then it's happy and continues doing it. It doesn't think about it. I think that we overanalyze things, that I think that it's our free will and the things we learn that mess it up for us.
So we just have to unscramble the puzzle, right?
I think we have to relax a little bit more and trust that it's going to be fine, to start focusing on the positive things in our lives, even if it's the smallest of things. I mean, you can always find something positive in your life. And I do know what I'm talking about, because my childhood was not an easy childhood. So I know what I'm talking about when I say that you can focus on small things that are good in your life. And when you do that, you sink your frequency into the good stuff. And it comes to you droplet by droplet by droplet. And you find yourself in a river going to the ocean in a very short period of time. So you have to have the trust that if you focus, even if it's small things, the good things, it will manifest as much more. Because nature works that way. It's always in abundance. Everything is always in abundance in nature. So I don't think that our lives are different from that. It's just that we choose not to see it because we're so focused on scarcity and fear.
Here's this,
and worries.
Listen. You know, I call a thing, and what I call it as is getting caught up in the bullshit. And that's what so many, we like to get caught up in that. We like to hold that. Then we like to paint a picture. And then when that picture is finished, we don't have a frame to put it in. But speaking of overthinking, I always say overthinking is the art of creating problems that weren't even there. So
it is.
It is. And if, you know, we want to go into this new year as overthinkers instead of overachievers, then keep creating problems that aren't even there. You know, we have the art to create. So what do you want to create this new year? What do you want to manifest this new year? What do you desire for this new year? And how can you get into the synchronicity of it all? Before we have to wrap the show up. Can you believe how fast time flies?
When you do what you love, time flies fast.
Yeah, it is so true. But again, let's just work with the word synchronicity right now, and how we can tap into it, and how we can take it and rise, and how we can take it and run with it.
I mean, synchronicity is there all the time, so you don't have to do anything about it. What you need to do is to start focusing on your desires and making the wishes and daydream more. I would love to see people daydream more, because I know in school they always said, don't stop daydreaming, do something else, do math or whatever. I want to say daydream more, because when you start daydreaming, you put out blueprints of how you want your reality to be. You tune yourself into that station, I mean that frequency. So you need to start daydreaming, because I see it as serious business. You need to start daydreaming, and you need to start imagining the good things that you desire. I mean, if you don't imagine them, then they cannot manifest. You have to start imagining them, because everything starts in your mind. It starts in your heart, and it starts in your imagination.
It does. And you know, for everyone who's tuning in tonight, there's something called a heart desire. And basically, when you ask yourself, what is it that gives you chills? What is it that can make you weep? What is it that makes your eyes swell up where you could almost cry because you want it so badly? That and I've had Tamara on the show before. We talk about, and it's called the heart desire, things that give you the goosebumps and the chills of life. All that is the divine saying, that is the desire of your heart, and that is your heart virtue. So think about that. Before I let you go, Gordana, there's a great quote from Amy Poehler that says, I want to be around people that do things. I don't want to be around people anymore that judge or talk about what people do. I want to be around people who dream and support and do things. On that note, there's a lot for us to do. Gordana is definitely going to be back to talk about even more things in the new year. But Gordana, before I let you go, what is your desire for our listeners tonight?
My desire is that they see life as a gift, because they are here as guests, and I would want them to explore their desires and enjoy their stay here on Earth, because it's short, so make the best of it.
Make the best of it. Everyone, your life is big. Keep reaching. Gordana Birnat, thank you so much for joining me on Max and Friends. I'm going to talk to you after the show.
And thank you so much for having me, Max. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, we have great. And my producer is saying, she's amazing. I love her. We all love her.
I love you too.
On that note, everyone, I'd have to wish you a Merry Christmas. I don't know if we have time to play Eartha Kitt. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. I'll leave that up to Ronnie. Yes, we do. I love you all for tuning in to Max and Friends every Sunday night here on LA Talk Radio. I wish you all a Merry Christmas. And I'll be on next week, so I'll wish you Happy New Year then. Until then, take life to the max. Good night and good karma. I'm your host, Max Tucci, from Max and Friends.
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Poor little Eartha is sad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't wanna be bad. Jim promised me a sable coat just for a little kiss, a diamond ring and motorboat just for a little kiss. He said, I'll buy out the stores, everything I have is yours. I will be your Santa Claus just for a little kiss. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. My little Jimmy is mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't wanna be bad. Jack promised me a ruby clip just for a tiny squeeze, a wardrobe plus a Paris trip just for a tiny squeeze. He said, dear, be nice to me, and on Christmas Day you'll see presents round your Christmas tree just for a tiny squeeze. But I'm getting nothing for Christmas. My little Jackie is mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't wanna be bad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't wanna be bad. So take my advice, I think you should. It's good to be good, but not too good, or you'll get nothing for Christmas.